Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would Baltimore want to trade away a generational player like Machado? I mean, the rare guy to start an all-star game at both short and third. Well, for one, they're horrible. Like the worst team in baseball, horrible. 25-66, 37.5 games out of first place. Look, I'm no Bill James, and you never want to say never, but I feel pretty confident in saying that the O's have no chance of winning the AL East this year, or anytime soon, for that matter. And Machado is set to become a free agent, so you better get something for this guy while you can. And obviously, the ideal situation would be to deal him out of the American League and send him to the National League so you don't have to run into this guy very often. This is why you hear teams like the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, and why they would make a lot of sense for Baltimore. Send this guy to the National League, get some prospects back, and maybe you take a run at re-signing him in the offseason, the way the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman. And even then, if you can't get the guy back, at least you get some prospects and maybe you keep him out of your league. However, the truth is there is another potential trading partner. Again, speculation is the Dodgers might be the front runners. The Brewers might be able to match what LA has. And maybe Arizona wants to get in there because they need help and they want to keep him away from LA. But that other looming trade partner may have even more than any of the other teams that I mentioned to deal with. You know, a team with a really deep farm system. One that the O's would never want to deal with. Of course, I'm talking about the Yankees. Now, that right there is nightmare fuel. The only thing worse for the Orioles and their fans than having to say goodbye to Manny Machado in his prime, having the best season of his career, would be to have this guy show up in Yankee gear and then do it on a regular basis since they're in the same division. And according to The Athletic, the Yankees are showing increased interest in acquiring Machado. Why the hell not? Why the hell not? In fact, why stop there? Why not just go get Bryce Harper while you're at it? Because a lineup with Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez was not scary enough. Let's throw in another right-handed bat with power and a guy who plays gold glove defense. Now, that there would not be a good lineup. That is an unfair lineup. If the Yankees pull that off, three of the top 10 home run hitters in the American League would be in their lineup. And the crazy thing is, it's not even like they need this guy. They don't need more power in that lineup. What they need, obviously, and everybody knows this, is help in the rotation. But then again, if you can get Manny Machado, you take Manny Machado. If you can't keep your opponents from scoring, just outscore them yourself. Turn every single game into a shootout on the diamond. Like the Red Sox, they've got four nasty lefties in the rotation. Yeah, well, here are four nasty righties in our lineup. Just dump some kerosene on the arms race in the AL East. Because the last thing you want to do is lose the AL East and then get stuck in that wild card game, especially if you don't like your rotation that much. Now, I'm not saying that the Yankees acquiring another all-star would be especially good for the game of baseball overall. But baseball is better when the Yankees are good, and this would make the Yankees better. So in a sense, I do want to see that deal get done. Not because I think it's the best for Baltimore, because really it's the worst for them, but they should be able to get more from the Yankees than anybody else. Do that deal just so we can all see how Boston responds. Because if history is any guide at all, if New York adds an all-star, Boston has to add one too. Or maybe two. Or more. It's an arms race there. And again, the last thing you want to do is not win that division. If you're either Boston or New York, the last thing that you want to do is have to deal with a wild card situation. So, a few weeks out, Manny Machado is on a lot of teams' radars, and most notably, the Yankees. Then what happens? 1-800-636-8686. In terms of Machado, he admits that the whole thing's getting a little bit distracting, and in fact, somebody had to ask him about the possibility of him going to the Empire.
Rumors, just a rumor. I don't talk rumors. I play baseball. Got our ass kicked today. Second game, won the first game, but I talk baseball. Talk baseball with you all you want. Don't talk rumors.
Needless to say, he's getting a little tired of it. He's getting a little aggravated by it. I don't talk rumors. I talk baseball. We got our ass kicked today. You want to talk to me about our getting our ass kicked? Let's go ahead and do that. But I don't deal in rumors or speculation or innuendo.
Got our ass kicked today.
My man, you know it's bad if you'd rather talk about getting his ass kicked. My man, get ready for 3 more weeks of that. It's only going to get louder and worse. Ben Gulliver joins us. Ben, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, it's always good to talk to you, but especially after last night. We had like 2 hours of thunderstorms, got flash flood warnings. It was the end times out here in Vegas, so it's great to be alive and speaking with you.
Dude, how weird was that? Seriously, take me through that. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it wasn't as bad as about 4 years ago when I had my entire, like half my car was submerged in water just driving down the street. I thought I was going to have to, you know, hop out like it was a rowboat and just swim for it, but... every once in a while, you get, you know, a month's worth of rain in about an hour period, and unfortunately, that was last night.
All right, so Ben, you're already a legend here in the jungle, but to show up today the way you did on short notice is amazing. Other than that, and again, this is the 10th time you've done this, other than that, how are you enjoying your time in Vegas this time around?
No, I'm enjoying it. The rookie class to me this year, it was an interesting group because there were so many big men, and everyone knows in the NBA, like, how important are the bigs and what kind of style of big do you want to draft, and, like, are they even that valuable? And I think a lot of the pre-draft analysis was sort of just kind of poo-pooing them, you know, kind of putting them down a little bit. And my takeaway from watching these guys is there's a lot of talent. I mean, you've got a nice little wave of big guys here who are coming into the NBA. Obviously, it starts with DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick, but Jaren Jackson Jr. has just got an incredible NBA body for Memphis. I think he's going to be a nice player for them. I think the Bulls got a steal with Wendell Carter Jr. I mean, this guy is just unbelievably cerebral. I mean, he kind of carries himself like he's already 35 years old, even though he's still a teenager. You just got a bunch of these young big men who I think are going to force teams to, you know, maybe change their style of play here in a couple of years. It's just a nice wave.
Ben Gulliver joining us. You know, Ben, these are all really key points, and I want to get into a little bit more of that in just one moment. But I'm still fascinated by the whole concept of the Vegas Summer League, and some people just don't get it. Some people don't get it. They complain about it. They whine about it. You've been going there for quite some time. How has that league changed and grown since you first started going?
Well, when I was first going, they would actually get busloads of elementary school kids. They'd give them free tickets. They'd put them up in the rafters because they couldn't, you know, they didn't really fill the gym. They just tell these kids to scream the entire game. So there would be action on the floor, and it wouldn't matter what was actually happening. You'd have these kids shrieking up in the top just so they could, out, you know, basically fill up the seats. But now it's crazy, Jim. I mean, they got all 30 teams here. They have all these different meetings and, you know, associated, you know, business dealings going on around the actual event. It's nationally televised, a whole bunch of the games, you know, whether it's ESPN, NBA TV. You've got, you know, big-time players showing up, you know, dropping in courtside, you know, whether it's a Giannis or Alonzo Ball. Those guys have kind of been coming through and watching their younger teammates take place. And to me, it really just kind of parallels the rise of everybody wanting to be a draft expert, right? Like the mock draft culture, you know, scouting these guys since they're like, you know, sometimes in like middle school or early high school. I mean, Summer League has sort of become that showcase, kind of like an extended, you know, McDonald's All-America game where you put all these guys who have been playing against each other, you know, throughout their youth. You put them in NBA uniforms, you put them on national TV, and it's a bunch of head-to-head matchups. You know, a great example is like DeAndre Ayton versus Mo Bamba. I mean, these are two, you know, seven-footers, you know, super long, you know, really, you know, potential stars in the making, you know, coming down the road. Those guys are going head-to-head yesterday on national TV. And look, they're playing for the Phoenix Suns and the Orlando Magic, two teams that have been pretty irrelevant in the NBA over the last few years. But there was an awful lot of interest in that game because those guys represent the hope, right? This is the guys who could potentially lead teams that have had a really tough time in recent years, you know, back into the playoff mix, you know, somewhere, you know, down the line. So it's become much more professional. You know, I think for people like me, I loved it back when it was smaller and maybe a little bit less organized and you know, a little goofier. But it's great to see the event grow so large.
Ben Gulliver joining us. You know, you mentioned Mo Bamba and DeAndre Ayton. God, I love both these guys, Ben. They both have so much it. DeAndre Ayton came on the program yesterday. I'm blown away by the way this guy carries himself at that age. Is there any doubt in your mind that he's going to be a star on the next level?
I think he's got a chance to be a star. You know, the questions that I have with him is more defensive impact, right? Because I mentioned this earlier with how is the center position evolving, and it's very tough to be like a big-time scorer as a center if you can't shoot the three ball. Like, look at guys like Karl-Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. a lot of their scoring now, it comes from that three-point range, and I'm not sure that's necessarily Ayton's game right now. He does like the mid-range shot, and that's a helpful tool, but a lot of what he's going to try to do offensively is around the basket. So what I want to see from him is that big-time defensive impact. Can he could become like a DeAndre Jordan type of guy or Clint Capella type of guy where you can build a defense around his ability to just man the paint, you know, grab the defensive rebounds, block a lot of shots, help out his teammates when they get beaten off the dribble. That's what I want to see from DeAndre Ayton. But I think if you're trying to handicap, you know, the rookie of the year race, for example, he's got to be right near the top of that list, Jim, because his body, I mean, it's just, he has a man's body. You put him side by side with Bamba, you know, he looks like 3 or 4 years older than in Bamba in terms of his muscle definition, his strength. I've seen people compare his body to like David Robinson. I mean, he is a really, really strong, big dude, and he already pops against the players at this level, this summer league level, just because of his physique.
The Tuesday edition of the Daily Jungle is brought to you by Fan Exchange. Clones, are you going on vacation this summer? One of the coolest things to do on vacation is to check out a baseball game at a stadium that you have never been to. Trust me, do it. You will not regret it. And get in the gates with Fan Exchange. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. No getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the very best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. That's promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. Fan Exchange. Promo code ROME. We're talking Ben Gulver, and they're doubling him already, but I think he made key points. I mean, like, when I look at him, I see star quality, but you're right. Defensively, whether or not he can step out and shoot that three, these are all question marks. Ben, what about the Rockets? They lose Trevor Ariza to the Suns, Luke Mbamute to the Clippers in free agency. According to reports, they're very interested in Carmelo Anthony. Given what they lost in Trevor and Luke, is Melo the answer?
I don't think so. I mean, of those three players, if I'm Houston – and I'm trying to take down Golden State, and we know that they're obsessed with Golden State, I think I would have Melo ranked third. And I realize he's not nearly as famous as Ariza or Mbamute, but he doesn't do the things that Houston needed. They needed a Kevin Durant stopper. They needed that natural floor spacing shooter who doesn't really command attention of the ball or, you know, ball stop and, you know, try to go one-on-one. That's not really how they play around guys like James Harden and Chris Paul, because they already have playmakers to do all of the creation for them. And I guess, you know, the theory would be, well, if you can get Melo into great shape, you know, give him a contender to play for, and maybe he could give you a little bit more firepower. But to me, I thought the Ariza one especially hurt, because you remember Mbamute was injured during the Western Conference Finals. I mean, he really didn't have much of an impact. But Trevor Ariza was a very, very important player for them, very key for their matchups on the perimeter. And to lose a guy like that, it's a big step backward for Houston. And you know, for Golden State, like, how lucky can these guys get? Not only do they sign DeMarcus Cousins for peanuts, but their number one competitor from last season, you know, takes two pretty big rotation blows with Ariza and Mbamute.
That's my thing, too. Ben Gulver joining us for another moment or so. Ben, as you pointed out, Kyrie Irving did not want to play with LeBron, and Paul George did not want to play with LeBron. And now there's the suggestion that Kawhi Leonard would rather be with the Clippers than the Lakers. Now that LeBron's with the Lakers, now all three of these guys are unique guys. I'll grant you that. Is there any question in your mind about LeBron's ability to recruit going forward?
I think there is, Jim. I mean, remember back in 2014, he just snaps his fingers and Kevin Love just shows up in Minnesota. You know, he makes like one phone call. Boom, here's Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins. Or you remember the famous stories about how him, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, they came together during USA Basketball and sort of plotted this master plan. Jim, my question is, does it count as a master plan if, you know, their big three, it's like him, Rondo, and Lance Stephenson? That doesn't sound like a master plan to me. That sounds like LeBron wanting to play in L.A. on his own terms, and then the Lakers trying to fill in whoever they can around the edges. And there's legitimate reasons why guys wouldn't maybe want to play with him. Number one, there's an awful lot of pressure and an awful lot of scrutiny if you're on LeBron's team, and he's almost always going to get the credit, and he's rarely going to get the blame. And if you're a teammate of his, you're rarely going to get the credit, and you're often going to get the blame. And I think that kind of wears on guys a little bit. He also has the ball in his hands a lot, and for a guy like Kyrie, I could easily see why, you know, Boston would be a more attractive scenario. Now, the Paul George situation, to me, it's still confusing. I still think he should have gone to L.A. That made more sense in terms of a fit. I think the Lakers would have been better with Paul George than the Thunder are going to be with Paul George this year. But I think for LeBron, next summer is going to be the big litmus test, because we saw what happened with Kobe and the Lakers, right? After he came back from that Achilles, their ability to kind of recruit anybody else really evaporated. It was just the Kobe show. It got to a situation where it was a little bit too much of the cult of personality, and I think the Lakers need to stay away from that. This can't just be the LeBron show or the LeBron reality TV show. If they want to challenge Golden State, they need to put other big-time stars around LeBron. LeBron needs to be able to convince a guy like Kawhi Leonard to come to L.A. He needs to get back into that recruiting mode that made him so famous earlier in his career. Otherwise, we're going to talk about a team that's just good, but not truly great.
Let me talk to you for 1 minute about Stamps.com. In fact, I'm talking to anybody who has a business. If you're mailing birthday invites, wedding RSVPs, or thank you notes, Stamps.com is the very best tool for the home office. Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. I've got a business. I need the post office. I use Stamps.com. It saves me time. It saves me money. It makes my life so much easier. And it can do the same thing for you. Create your Stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you're done. Again, Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. I'll tell you why I use Stamps.com. It's easy. It's fast, it's convenient, and we're all looking for an edge. We're all looking for more time. This helps me save time. And right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer, which includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Rome. Stamps.com, enter Rome. So Gordon Hayward just got done with maybe the worst year of his professional career. Literally 5 minutes into the season opener, 5 minutes into the first year of a 4-year, $128 million deal, he obliterates his ankle. Dude put his foot on backwards. Dude had his foot helicoptered. It was awful. One of the scariest, most terrifying injuries you're ever going to see. And while it looks like he may be back on the court and ready for the start of next season, maybe, it is a visual that's going to haunt him and the rest of us for a long, long, long time. However, as bad as that was, that video may not haunt him as long as this video will. Now, let me lay it out for you first. Gordon and his wife, Robin, were expecting baby number 3, or R, in January. And because it is 2018 and social media being what it is, Robin posted the gender reveal video of she and Gordon revealing the gender of their new addition. And their two daughters were there for the reveal as well, and they post this thing on social. So now there's all this gender reveal for parents and their kids. That's one thing, but putting it on social is something else, especially when it's a legitimate reveal. And this particular reveal went something like this.
Okay, ready? Say, Daddy, can you help me?
Help me.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Whoa, it's a girl.
Yay. You want a girl?
Brittany, you were right.
Is Daddy happy?
Daddy's always happy.
Look at the balloons. Say bye.
All right, so for those of you who are watching this on CBS Sports Network, you saw exactly what went down. For those of you who are listening, let me walk this back and paint you a picture. Hayward and his wife are in the backyard. Their two young daughters are standing next to a cardboard box that looked like it was just pulled out of the recycling bin and then taped shut by a single piece of scotch tape. The girls open up the box and they reveal a box of pink balloons. That's a less than enthusiastic Whoa, it's a girl. Gordo. How about that reaction? Whoa. The only thing missing was another freaking girl. Whoa. And he didn't exactly help that exchange when he chased it with this. Let me tell you something. If mommy asks, is daddy happy? Mommy already knows the answer to that question. Is daddy happy? Daddy's always happy. Let me tell you something. This daddy has been a daddy for 17 years. I've been a daddy a pretty long time. Daddy's always happy is code for daddy's not happy. Daddy is not even close to happy. And you know who else is not going to be happy? Child number three, when she scrolls the internet sometime in 2028 and then stumbles upon that video. Plain cardboard box. Balloons that didn't even have helium. Daddy sounding less than enthused when he mutters, whoa, it's a girl. The only thing less subtle would have been Gordon punting one of those pink balloons off the cliff in the back and screaming, damn, damn, why me? I want a boy. Damn, I really wanted a boy. Damn. I've said this a million times. I'm not the first one to say it. I will not be the last one to say it, but I will always say it. The internet is in ink. Ink. That means every single tweet, every single gram post, every single gender reveal video will always be there forever and ever. She's going to see that one day, and then she's going to say, Dad, is that how you really feel? Dad, I'm sorry, I'm not a boy. And then it's going to be very awkward. So if I were the Haywards, that's a good dude. It's a good dude who didn't have a great moment. I'd get out in front of this thing. I would get out in front of this thing, and I would throw down and buy the pony right now. Buy the pony right now, try and get in front of it, and try and make up for it. Doesn't daddy look happy? Doesn't daddy look happy? Of course daddy's happy. Let me tell you something. When you're asked the question, I've been there before, I've done this, and it's the truth. When somebody says, what do you want? Like, what gender do you want? Or do you want a boy or a girl? Just say yes. Do you want a boy or a girl? Yes. Which one is it? Yes. What do you want, a boy or a girl? What I want is a healthy baby. That's what I want. My man. And what do you expect? You're going to roll tape on something like that and post it? Of course that's how that's going to go. I'm not somebody who believes in jinxes, but if the wife has got the phone out or somebody else rolling, it's not going to go well. Obviously. Oh, damn. It's a girl. My man. Just get back on that horse. Why stop there? Dear Rome. Whoa, it's a girl. Regards, Jeff in San Antonio's parents when Jeff was born. Steve in PHX.
I am definitely a badass.
Rome, gender reveals are so much fun. We love them and love planning them. Signed, stay-at-home dads. John in Huntington Beach. War daddy is always happy. Is daddy happy? Again, if mommy has to ask, mommy already knows the answer. And if daddy says daddy's always happy, best know daddy's not happy at all. We found out for Logan, but not Jake. So we did not want to know. Yeah, Jan and I were thinking, like, one, we don't care. We just want a healthy baby. And two, there's so few surprises in the world, let's not find out. So we didn't find out for our first and went with a neutral room. Everything we bought was neutral, so we were prepared. And then having gone through that once, we decided, let's find out for Logan. At TFP Elite tweets, I like how the pink balloons flew away like Gordon Hayward's soul. At the Miano Pan, was that Gordon Hayward or was that Nancy Kerrigan? No, I don't think that he was in that much pain. I think the pain of discovering that he did not get the boy that he wanted so badly was not as painful as somebody dropping a lead pipe on Nancy's knee. Not a good comparison. I know why she did that. Liz in Fall City tweets, that gender reveal was awesome. Signed, the situation. Hey, oh, what you gonna do? Can I tell you? Hey, oh, the situation's response was much better. I mean, that's what it should have been for Gordo. Hey, oh, what you gonna do? Another girl. Hey, oh, I could own it or I can try again.
Oh, hey, what are you gonna do? Hey.
And like I said, he's gonna have to explain that. One day she will sit down and say, Dad, Dad, I want to ask you something. Yeah, honey, I knew this day was coming. I've been waiting for this. I've been anticipating this. Do you hate me, Dad? Do you hate me? Did you really want a boy that badly? Because I can be the boy you never had. No, honey, really. Is Daddy happy? Daddy's not happy. I'm not going to say Daddy's never happy, but I'm going to say in that moment, without knowing and I wasn't there, Daddy was not happy. Does Daddy sound happy? And Daddy's going to be really unhappy when he finds out that video went viral and people like me are talking about it. I don't know, bro. I don't know if you have a say in these matters. Maybe you don't post that. Maybe you don't post that, because how is that going to go well? Now, I understand that the missus has 97 grand, 97,000 Instagram followers. And believe me, we all know this. Anybody who has a social media platform, and even if you don't have a big platform, you understand the need to feed the beast. You got to give your followers something, whether you have 97 or 97,000 or 970,000. There's always that pressure. I got to post. I got to post. I got to give them something. But then if you do, this is what happens. Whoa, another girl. Awesome. That's tough. Shouldn't be that tough. I've never, honestly, this is just me. I'm pumped with my two boys. I've never thought, man, wouldn't it be nice to have a girl and a boy? Girl and a boy? No. It'd be nice to have a couple of healthy kids. Healthy, happy kids that are not a pain in the ass. That's what would be awesome. Steven PHX, bro, I just read one of your emails. Why are you hitting me up on Twitter too? What's next, a phone call, Steve? At Steve PHX. Gordon Hayward seemed happy to me. Signed, the guy on The Price is Right who gets the Showcase Showdown with the dining room set. That's good. That's good. Malik Beasley is my guest. Malik, good morning. Nice to have you on. How are you?
How you doing, boss?
Good, man. Good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, man. Lots to talk about. Let me start with the big step that you took last year. You played 22 games as a rookie, 62 last season. I know you're already thinking about the next season, but when you look back on last year, what kind of thoughts do you have, and what were you able to take away from last season?
I'm able to take away that I got better last year. Being able to go from little minutes playing in the D League to significant minutes in the NBA. So it's pretty good experience to be able to do that. And now I just want to take it to an easy another level, be able to play all 82 games, you know?
You know, also, one of the things you talked about at the end of the season was how you changed up your approach a little bit after the All-Star break. Like, you started to study even more film. You did even more work on your body. What inspired those changes? And then how much did you start to notice a difference in how you felt and how you played?
I don't know exactly what changed it. I think it was just me not being an All-Star weekend. It kind of hurt me. Even though I'm young and didn't have the experience, I still felt like I should have been there. I don't know how, but that's just who I am. I just wanted to make sure I was able to turn up, man. I wanted to play more, and I just felt like the focus to be able to do that, you have to turn up another notch. So I wanted to do that a lot.
Malik Beasley joining us. Focus, to me, is the key word, right? Because you made another change. You started to spend even less time on social media. Now, that's something that a lot of people are trying to do. So what kind of a difference did that make, and how were you able to stay off of social? For instance, did you just delete some apps from your phone, or did you just kind of put the phone down and not look at it?
I put the phone down. I started reading more. I started watching more films. I started just working out more, eating right. That was the main thing at a young age. I'm only 21. I think I can just eat Burger King and all that good stuff when I'm lazy. But I started eating more healthy and things like that, and that took me to another level energy-wise, too.
Malik Beasley joining us. I mean, the whole thing about social on the phone, was that hard to do initially? I mean, I think that we all want to do that, and you don't even know what you're doing, and then you go down this rabbit hole, and you lose an hour or more, and you don't even know. Like, was it physically, was it hard to put the phone down?
It was hard to put the phone down, just because, you know, you got people always hitting you up, and news always going on, especially around this time of summer, trades are always going on, so it's kind of hard not being on your phone. I did it, and one of my main things my mom always told me was sacrifice. You always got to sacrifice something to be great, and I know that the Warriors have sacrificed a lot during the summer or whatever to win that championship, so I wanted to sacrifice a few things for my individual self to make me a better player in person.
I like it. Malik Beasley joining us. You mentioned your mom, so let me ask you about your family. You actually come from a remarkable family in the sense that your parents are both actors. Your father, Michael, played professional basketball. He made the move into acting. He was in Denzel Washington's film Flight, as well as Eastbound and Down. Your mother, Dina, who you mentioned, has modeled. She's been in the Hunger Games movies. So what was life like for you growing up as the son of actors, and were you around sets very much?
Yeah. Just being around them and being around them having success and even them failing, just getting auditions or say they got a part and they are in the actual movie, but when they actually release the movie, they cut the scene. So we've seen it all, man. We've seen being able to be humble, being able to make sure we work harder. But growing up with them, they always made sure that I continued to keep the same plan and continue to whatever that kept made me successful, to stick with it and not get bored with it. That's the main thing people, where they tend to fall off at, is they get bored with success.
Yeah, at the same time, you had a taste of that life too. You acted in some commercials, a Tyler Perry film. What was the experience like for you? Did you get the bug at all?
Yes, I did. I did a little extra work here and now and then. I was always laughing, so I never got serious. But now that I get better, I want to now that I'm playing more and stuff like that, I want to be able to do more commercials for bigger brands and maybe even a movie.
We're talking to Malik Beasley. Now, when you look at the team last year, you guys came so close to a playoff spot. You finished only a game out of eighth. So what were the last few weeks of the season like for you? And then how tough was that to come that close and not quite get in?
It was cool, man. It was cool to see, the difference in players. Like, you could tell the mentality in some of our players just were different. They were more locked in, they were more focused, like it was playoff time. And I felt that we should have that approach the whole season. So now that I know what that approach is, I feel like I can be able to, you know, be a leader and be able to tell them that every game matters, if you had to approach the same way we do the playoffs and things like that. So it was cool to get that experience. It sucked that we didn't make it, and it only made us better because we want to keep going. We want to keep working.
Now, you mentioned leadership. You're playing in the summer league for the third time now. Now, you could easily just kind of say, you know what, I don't need to do this. I've already paid my dues. I don't need to do it. But that's not what you're saying. You said, quote, it's a test to see if I want to go through this just to get through it, or do I want to get something out of it and be a leader, end quote. So what made you see it that way, and why is that leadership role something you want to take on and take it on through the summer?
I mean, that is what it is, pretty much. You got to face the reality, man. Do I want to just be here, just be in Vegas and have fun, or do I want to get something out of it? I want to prove to the world that I am serious about basketball, that I am focused, and that I can be a leader and I could be a great player on this earth. And that's how I want to approach it. I want to prove to everybody that I am a good player, and that any team watching, even the Nuggets, like, I want to prove to them that I can play for them.
So is it all business, all work, or can you allow yourself a little bit of time to blow off a little bit of steam? I mean, it is Vegas.
It is Vegas, but right now I'm handling this business, and when I can, I'll figure out to have fun. But my main thing right now is just to work on my game, work out, make sure I'm getting my rest, because the heat out here, and all that takes a toll on you. And if I'm doing that while playing, it'll get to me. Like, I'll start to get more fatigue with the hotness and with it being so hot. You know, trying to have fun. You don't want to worry about any of that. You want to just focus on basketball. Plus, Vegas is going to be here all the time. So, I believe not.
You gotta stay hydrated. Plus, it seems to me like you figured out a lot of things at an early age that some guys never actually figure out. Now, you played your college ball at Florida State, which means you played for my guy, Leonard Hamilton. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but Coach Ham is one of my favorites. What was it like to play for him, and what kind of an impact did he have on you?
It was huge to play for him, man. He was like a father figure for me with my dad not being down there all the time. And he just talked to me on and off the court, always made sure I was being better. He had high expectations for me. And not everybody did down there, I feel to say. Not everybody knew that I was going to be one and done or the first one to never. Everybody just thought I was just a role player and was just coming down there because of Coach Ham. But no, he was the one who actually believed in me and he kept me positive and allowed me to keep working.
You got a problem with Jay Cutler. You got a problem with you. I miss Cuddy. So I was, needless to say, beyond myself to see him reemerge. Like, you may have thought that ride off into the Miami sunset last season was it. You know, pack of Marlboro Reds in one hand, flask of whiskey in the other, a bag stuffed full of cash over his shoulder after the Dolphins handed him 10 mil to go 6-10 last season. I mean, good work if you can get it. And Cuddy can. Cuddy could. It seemed like that was that. However, he's back. He's back. And he's better than freaking ever. And I'm not talking about playing quarterback. And I'm not even talking about being an NFL analyst. He's playing a role that he's even more suited to play than either one of those things. And the guy, frankly, was a pretty damn good quarterback. At least a pretty damn good talent. No, the role he's going to play this time is the role of Jay Christopher Cutler. Now, what if I told you everything that you thought about Jay Cutler was, in fact, true? That the dude really did look like a guy who'd roll his head back and scream, "Don't care," when you went up to him to say that you love those years that he spent in Chicago. Or that you thought the Broncos made the biggest mistake ever by trading him. Or that all he really needed was a good team around him and he would have gone to way more Pro Bowls and be fitted for a yellow jacket right now. And had a much better record than 74-79. Or instead of all these things, you just went up to him and said, "Hello." Well, come to find out, the 12-year NFL vet played himself on reality TV this week on his wife Kristen's new show, Very Cavallari. It's on the E! Network. And while it may have the former Laguna Beach star's name in the title, my man Cuddy absolutely steals the show.
Steal the show.
This dude projected pure Cuddy, pure Cutler, every single minute he was on the screen. I mean, there was the terrible body language. There was the absolute relentless apathy, the sheer unadulterated don't give a damn attitude that Denver, Chicago, and Miami fans know all too well. And literally projected it from the moment that he stepped on the screen, and it didn't stop until the credits rolled. Like, take this first scene. His first scene. He walks into his perfect chef's kitchen with a cooler full of elk meat. He proceeds to lay out his day, and if you ask me, it sounds like the best day ever.
Hey.
Yo.
What's that?
Meat.
What?
That elk my dad killed.
Oh, God.
Why are you so dressed up?
To work? What's on tap for you today?
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
Picking up boys from school.
Picking up the boys at school.
Uh-huh.
Want to be first in line.
Always.
Beat all the other moms there.
But, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
I like to keep myself pretty free, so if something does pop up,
ready
bounce right into it.
So you think that you're 100% done with football?
I mean, you can't say 100. Probably.
When will you know if you're 100%?
September.
Yeah, like the first football game?
Yeah.
You have to realize how many seconds.
I'm telling you, that exchange is priceless. That is so good. I could walk that back, put that on a loop, and watch it for the rest of the day. There are so many things to like about that. That exchange is absolutely amazing. She's like, "Hi." He's like, "Yo, what's going on? What do you got there? Meat? Meat? elk meat. You know, my dad killed that elk. Oh, great. Why are you so dressed up? I'm at work. I'm working. Hey, by the way, with that work thing, are you going to ever do that again? I mean, that exchange was so great because it was perfectly pure Cuddy. She says, no, seriously, what do you do all day? And by the way, this guy's not been retired long enough, I think, for that conversation to take place. Seriously, what do you do all day? Cuddy, quote, I like to keep myself pretty free, so if something does pop up, I'll bounce right into it. Hey, like I always say, this guy knows this better than anybody. And I always say it, the best ability is availability. Speaking of availability, with training camp, 3 weeks off, Cuddy's potential retirement came up more than just in that exchange that we heard. And while he is not committed to football or broadcasting, he did lay out his attitude for working in the most Cuddy way ever. When asked about going to work, getting a job, his response was, quote, I'm not really looking to do a lot of work right now. I'm looking to do the opposite of that, end quote. Cuddy has said a lot of amazing things over the years. That might be the best one ever. I'm pretty sure we can get started on the tombstone with that. Because it's not going to get any better than that. Again, this guy's made it pretty clear he does not want to work. He wants to do the opposite of work. He doesn't want to do anything at all. But his wife also made it equally clear that she is here to work. And that now it's her time. That he had his time. And now his job is to support her doing her job. And if this guy's smart, he'll do it. Happy wife, happy life. It's one thing for Cuddy never to be happy. But if she's not, they're going to have not a happy life, but a crappy life. And one way to keep the wife happy, right? One way to keep the wife happy is to like the wife's friends and to treat them like they're your own. You know, they're not her friends, they're your friends. Well, apparently that's not going so well either. Not if her friends are afraid of him and afraid to actually look him right in the eye.
I don't even look Jay in the eyes anymore because I'm honestly afraid he'll steal my soul.
One of her friends said that. I honestly do not look Jay in the eye anymore because I'm afraid he will steal my soul.
I don't even look Jay in the eyes anymore because I'm honestly afraid he'll steal my soul.
Hey, listen, this dude may not have been everything you wanted in an NFL quarterback, but trust me, he is everything you want in a reality TV star. And this weekend's premiere was already the best Sunday of this guy's career. Yes, I said it. This weekend's premiere was already the best Sunday of this dude's career. And I think it's going to get better. I usually have no need, no interest, no need ever for reality TV. Because unscripted television is the most scripted thing ever. But now I'm in. I'm all in with this. Get your popcorn ready. Get your Marlboro Reds ready. Get your whiskey ready because Cuddy is back and Cuddy is better than ever before. And you know what I always say. I already said it today. We're referring to something else. You know what I always say. We don't know any of these guys. If episode one of this show is any indication, we know Cuddy. And Cuddy is exactly who we thought he was. You know, all those years, all his teammates saying, man, you don't know this guy. You don't know this guy. You don't spend time with this guy. Trust me, you don't know this guy. I don't know. I'm watching Ep 1. I feel like I really know this guy. I feel like he's exactly the guy we all thought he was. Awesome. Because you will never find a better exchange than this. Have you ever seen a guy who wanted to work less than this guy? Have you ever seen a guy roll out of the rack and want to accomplish less in a day than this guy? Man, good work if you can get it. I love Cuddy.
Hey.
Yo.
What's that? What?
That elk my dad killed.
Oh, God.
Why are you so dressed up?
To work? What's on tap for you today?
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
Picking up boys from school.
Picking up the boys at school.
Uh-huh.
I want to be first in line.
Always.
Beat all the other moms there.
But, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
I like to keep myself pretty free. So if something does pop up, bounce right into it.
So you think that you're 100% done with football?
I mean, you can't say 100, probably.
When will you know if you're 100%?
September.
Yeah, like the first football game?
Yeah.
You have to realize how many sacrifices I have had to make over the 8 football seasons that we've been together. So now,
just don't care.
You need to support what I have going on. This is my football. This is my turn.
This guy's amazing. Aaron Nola is my guest. Aaron, great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Got to ask you. So you're officially named your first All-Star team. Then you go out last night. You pitch 7 innings. You strike out 10. You drive in all 3 of your team's runs in the win. So how is life for Aaron Nola right now?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, I mean, the team as a whole has been playing pretty well. I mean, we're tied for first, as you say. And, you know, my 3-4 years been over here, we hadn't been on a winning team. So it's been fun, man. I mean, this has been the funnest year, obviously, for me. And we got a good group of guys.
Aaron Nola, my guest. In fact, I want to talk about how things were kind of challenging in years past and what makes this year different. But let me first ask you, you were starting the second game of a doubleheader last night, and the team had dropped a tough one of the Mets in the opener. So what was your mindset going to that game? Did you feel a little extra responsibility to make sure you got that split and stop the bleeding?
Not really. I mean, I just try to go out and do my job like I try to do every time and go compete and do anything I can to win for these guys. And, I mean, we played good the first game. It was just that one pitch for us, hit that walk-off. But that happens. But my main focus, you know, winning or losing, is go out and do my job.
So there's what you did on the mound. And then there's what you did at the plate. You came to the plate with the bases loaded in the top of the 5th. You got to take me through the at-bat. What were you thinking as you stepped into the batter's box? What pitch did you get, and what did it feel like when you were on second?
Well, I hadn't hit a double since 2016, so I felt kind of weird running the bases again.
Right.
But he threw me a first pitch fastball, and I didn't think he would do that with the bases loaded with the 2 outs. But fortunately, I put a good swing on it.
Now, it's not that it wasn't expected with the way you've been pitching this year, but on Sunday, you were named to the All-Star team. How'd you find out, and what was that moment like?
Gabe Kapler told me before the last game against Pittsburgh, and, you know, it was definitely an honor being selected. It's my first one. I followed the All-Star games in previous years, and you know, definitely excited to, you know, meet some of the guys that I played against and competed against, so it should be fun.
Phillies pitcher Aaron Nola joining us. Aaron, you mentioned Gabe Kapler. The guy literally is one of my favorite guys to talk to in all of baseball. He was when he played, but I also recognize that he's an intense guy who's got a different way of doing things. So what did you make of him when you first met him?
When I first met him, I knew it was going to be a fun year because he's super positive. And I think for a younger team, I think that's super important and really big. And, you know, good or bad, he always stays positive. He's a clubhouse loose. He's intense. And, you know, he wants to win. He loves competing. And, you know, I think that's rubbed off on us.
We're talking Phillies pitcher Aaron Nola. You know, if you go back, though, to the start of the season, he took you out of the season opener after only 68 pitches. You had a 5-0 lead, and then ultimately the bullpen lost that lead, and then Kapler took a lot of criticism for it. What did you make of that at the time? For instance, did you understand it, or was that something that maybe you want to talk to him about?
I was kind of confused at first, but we talked the next day, and he pretty much said, like, that's not really how it's going to be. So, you know, I wasn't too worried about it. And, you know, he let the starters go, and which I think is big. You know, it's keeping the bullpen healthy and fresh. And that's what we train for, starters. We try to go deep in the game every time we take them out.
All right, so you're in first right now in the NL East. And as you point out, this team's been through some rough years. And outside your clubhouse, there were not big expectations for the group this year. So when did you first realize that this team could be special?
I think in spring training when we got some of those veteran guys. You know, we had Neshek, and he came back and got Tommy Hunter and Carlos Santana and Arrieta. And we brought those guys in, and they've been in the playoffs before. You know, they've won a lot of games. They've won a World Series. So coming to a young team, they've been in our shoes before. So I think just kind of following looking up to them to kind of lead them. We kind of formed a good chemistry starting there.
Here was a sentence that I never thought that I would say in my entire career on radio. Here it is. It has been a big summer for hot dogs. As weird as it is to say that. As weird as it is to say that, there's no denying it. I mean, take a look back. The Philly Fanatic lasered a hot dog through some old lady's mug. Damn near turned her into a Pez dispenser. 2 weeks ago, Joe Chestnut, or 2 weeks later, Joe Chestnut did his disgusting freak show and inhaled 74 hot dogs. But today, a far more grave and serious hot dog story. It leads the news. I probably should have gotten to it sooner. If you're driving right now, I would suggest you pull your rig over. If you're at work, I would tell you to get to a private, quiet place. If you're at home, make sure you're not near anything valuable, because you might be tempted to smash something in rage. I'm not hyping this up. I mean this. Costco, the giant warehouse chain that many of you are familiar with and members too. The only place where you can get a basketball hoop, a drum of dill pickles, a New York Times best-selling book, and an engagement ring, all on a single trip, is, and you need to wait for this, Costco is discontinuing the Polish hot dog from their food court menu.
No! Oh my God!
It's happening.
We've been running down like this.
The Polish dog ripped from the menu. The reaction has been swift and violent, Alvy, and angry.
No!
Thanks, Alvy.
Oh my God!
We've been running down like this.
The Seattle Times is reporting that Costco is ripping the greatest dog on planet Earth off their menu to make room for healthier options. And no, it's not fake news. No, it is not some sick joke. It's real. ABC 7, San Francisco has got the deets.
If you're making a trip to Costco today, you may notice some changes on the food court menu. The warehouse chain is shaking things up a bit. It has removed the Polish dog from the menu at some of its locations. You'll also notice some healthier additions, including a new acai fruit bowl, organic burger, and plant-based protein salad.
I'm telling you, it's a national tragedy, because the Polish dog at the Costco food court was a national treasure. There's nothing better in America than wheeling out a 90-inch flat screen TV, a lifetime supply of paper towels, having your giant ass receipt checked by an exit greeter, and then heading to the food court for a $1.50 Polish dog and a drink. $1.50. This is what the best lunch in the history of the world costs. $1.50. A price that has stayed the same since 1985. So has the dog. The best dog ever has stayed the same since then. The price has stayed the same. Hell, Alvin can feed the entire family with a Hamilton at Costco and get change.
No!
And it's not, right? And it's not just about that dog. Don't act like it's only about the dog. Let's not act like that onion wheel was not the best thing in the world, because it was. Nothing like cranking that thing and watching that cascade of perfectly diced white onions fall effortlessly onto the best dog in the world. And then the pump action mustard vat. It's incredible. Costco was not going to waste your time with stupid plastic spoons and even more stupid packets that you can't get open that end up on your shirt. They chased the best dog at the best price with the best condiment experience ever. It was beautiful. Freaking heaven on earth. And now it's gone. Gone. And don't come up in here and tell me about they still have pizza or chicken bakes or turkey sandos. I sure as hell don't care about meatless protein salads or fruit bowls. The Polish dog was the star of that show. Everybody knows it. What are you going to tell me next? That In-N-Out is ditching fries? that In-N-Out is ditching double doubles? What, is Wendy going to kill the Frosty? Yeah, J-Bo. Yeah, J-Bo is out of the taco business. Sure they're not. You see, this is the kind of post-Polish dog apocalyptic world that it feels like to me right now. The late Swiss-American psychiatrist, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, says there are five stages of grief. The first three are denial, anger, and bargaining. It's fair to say that America is collectively cycling through all of those emotions right now. You want denial? Here's denial. A Twitter user named Joanna thumbed out, quote, "I'm still not over Costco getting rid of their Polish hot dog. Like, why? You want anger? I give you anger." At Mr. Joey tweets, "Costco, y'all bleeping up? How in the world y'all removing the Polish dog from the menu? That bleep is a national treasure." Preach, Joe. Here's some bargaining. Here's the bargaining phase. An online petition to bring back the Polish dog pleads with Costco, "We will pay more. Charge us $2.50. So that guy's willing to pay $2.50. Costco's founder, Jim Senegal, once said, this guy said this back in 08, quote, another reason why the internet's in ink. He said this in 08. "We're known for that hot dog. That's something you don't mess with," end quote. Jimbo, empty freaking words. Empty words, empty stomachs, empty hearts, Jimmy. Devastating news. And if you want to talk about it, I am here for you to talk about it. Because I think it's going to take the collective healing of all of us to get through this thing. So my advice to you, do what I plan to do. Pour out a 20-ounce fountain drink for the Costco Polish dog today. Those who know it, get it. Those who know, get it. R.I.P. Rest in peace. The greatest dog at the greatest price at the greatest condiment bar ever. Oh, and anybody who tweets that Costco still has the all-beef hot dog, yeah, just not the Polish dog. My track record on Twitter, I still have never blocked anybody. You come at me with that crap, you'll get blocked instantly. Because you and I both know it's nothing more than a troll job. The all beef dog is a joke backup to the Polish dog. You know it, I know it. Putting them in the same sentence is a disgrace to the Polish dog. Save that garbage. I see right through that garbage. Don't bring that here. Don't at me with that, unless you want to get blocked. I can see a lot of you thinking, man, I've said some pretty heinous things to Rome. I've called Rome every name in the book. He never blocked me until I talked junk about the Polish dog, and then he did.
Good night!